Well, welcome or welcome back to another episode of Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug. It has been a hot minute since I have recorded a full-on episode of one of these. But this is episode 158 of the Mainline Podcast, if you can believe that. 158? Do I have that right? Yes, I do. Of course, to my great chagrin, episode 157 was recorded back in like July of 2022, and it's now May of 2023, and I deeply regret the absence and the gap in recording. The timing is notable because, of course, that does coincide with when I left my career at Honeywell, took on a different career, and, you know, that has been going actually phenomenally well, if I do say so myself, but it has definitely been an uptick in the pace of my life and just how busy my life tends to get when, anyways, it's been a crazy, crazy few months, and I've been busier than ever with work and with other things too, and so I just have not had time to really get to the podcast, but I'm hoping that going forward I'm able to do at least somewhat more regular recordings. We will see if I can make that happen. And this may wind up being the last traditionally structured episode of Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug as well. Still toying with an idea for some format changes. I'm kind of finalizing those. But you know what? It was such a good discussion that why not just have at least one last hurrah for the traditional Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug episode format before I go adding all sorts of fiddly little bits and seeing whether I like them or not. Of course, I may just decide to keep the traditional format too, because that's kind of just the way my mind works. But at any rate, this was a fun little discussion, if I do say so myself. The principal topic was what your elevator pitch, or what the elevator pitch would be if you had, you know, one shot, just a minute or so, to pitch the idea for a new Ultima to somebody who could actually make a new Ultima. What would that look like? What kind of game would you design? What would it entail? Interesting discussion with a few new faces or new voices to the podcast, at any rate, and some very interesting ideas shared. Well worth a listen. And by all means, of course, we would love to hear your thoughts on Facebook or comments on the website or whatever. Just share your thoughts with us because we'd like to hear them. Right. That's enough for me. Let's get to that episode. Well, I guess first off, just a quick round of introductions because, you know, got some old and new voices on tonight. So, actually, I forget. Is it Seer Dragon or is it a hard C?
You know, it worked. I always said it was Sayer, but I've been called Seer for so long that I kind of go by whatever they say.
A soft
just
C.
Not care.
Right.
Usually misspelled as Clear Dragon.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I would have misseen it as C-A-E-R without paying closer attention, just because I spent so much time doing like Irish myth stuff or playing Shadowrun or whatever that cares are just a thing.
It has been egregiously misspelled throughout like my Ultima careers. It's like always been my Ultima handle. Even like I went and did an interview for EA Mythic, right, for when Richard was going to the Game Developers Conference for some award, and like they put my name up and this interview was like black and white and everything, they just swapped the letters around. I was like, oh, yeah. At least it didn't call me Clear.
There you go.
But yeah, Sayer Dragon, long time UO fan. I've been maintaining Ultima 6 online since about 2010. Just a big collector and enthusiast.
Nice.
Software engineer by trade.
Awesome. And of course, we also heard the dulcet tones of Golden Flame Dragon in there.
Dulcet, that's a word that no one has ever applied to me before.
And that's why I did it.
Well, thank you. Hi, it's good to be here again. It's been some time.
Yeah, well, it's been some time since I've done a recording, but we won't talk about that.
No, because I was willing to accept the blame.
Yes, we don't need to talk about that because we have someone new, actually, a new voice joining us, and that is also the originator of our topic for the evening, but Comic Strip Critic. Good evening.
Hello, thank you.
Okay. We'll keep going.
Sorry. This was kind of impromptu. I'm very new to the Ultima scene. I'm not a hardcore enthusiast. Ultima 5, I think, was released before I was even born. I didn't know the franchise was a thing until about 2010 or 12 or so. I admit that, relatively speaking, I'm kind of one of those more Johnny-come-lately guys who found the series through the YouTube reviews by Spoonie. But I've still just been fascinated by the franchise since then, learned it. Trying to work my way through Ultima 4 these days. I've never actually beaten a game, but I just wanted to find a community where I could just, you know, talk about this old series that I think still has a whole lot of interesting potential, and potentially, if it were ever to get resurrected, I think that'd be really neat. But it seems kind of like a dream.
Well, you found the right community, and that was a pretty good segue, because that was the idea that you pitched out there for a discussion topic this evening. And I mean, what you said on the Discord server is correct. You know, there's probably a million elevator pitches out there for an Ultima reboot. I'm sure every Ultima fan kind of has their own imagining of what that would look like.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. And certainly we've seen one attempt to do that. Well, no, at least two. At least two that I know of. One that actually saw the light of day for a while, and one that was only ever on paper. But
and are you thinking Ultima Forever?
That's the one that saw the light of day. And then I was also thinking the one that Obsidian was at least templating and contemplating back in, 2016?
Obsidian Entertainment?
Yeah. For a while there, they were pitching the idea of doing some kind of Ultima reboot. And, I mean, ultimately it never materialized, but there was some great excitement about it. And you can find, there's a couple of larger articles that surfaced about this some years back. I probably have it on the Codex as well, for that matter.
It's just surprising to me that there's nothing really solid since. It just seems like Ultima just seems like a very licensable IP to me.
Well, at this point. I suspect that if Dragon Age hadn't come along, or rather that if Dragon Age hadn't been part and parcel of the BioWare acquisition, because EA was looking for a fantasy RPG property again, and about the time that they acquired BioWare, BioWare had Dragon Age more or less ready to go out the door, so that satisfied that, and the rest is history, right? We've had now, you know, two other Dragon Age games on top of the original, and a fourth one imminent.
Right. You also had the Elder Scrolls franchise, which started off in the mid-90s with Arena and Daggerfall, and Skyrim is still being ported to just about everything under the sun. I think they even released an audio-only port for, for Alexa, or the Amazon Echo, even. You could play a version of it, which, curious.
I mean, why not? And also why, but...
But also why not?
Yeah, but also why not? And I mean, like, and Skyrim, obviously, like the Elder Scrolls, that's not an EA property, right? But like EA, you know, they had their fantasy RPG, and they were good with that. And I can't remember what other series someone was complaining about on the Ultima Dragons Facebook page, but there was another one recently where like EA was refusing to license some other old property. So for a while there, the story was definitely that, you know, there was a certain animus against Ultima within EA. But right. It has been pointed out before that anybody who would have had that animus towards Richard, towards Ultima, has long since left the company, or in some cases died. So it probably isn't the case that that is still what's happening. But equally, they do seem to be very cagey with a lot of their older properties, and they don't necessarily want to license them out. And after what happened with Wing Commander, I'm not entirely sure I can entirely blame them.
Yep. Forgive the new guy's ignorance. What happened with Wing Commander? I know that was the other big origin property besides Ultima, but I am far less knowledgeable on it.
Gosh. So essentially this company, and I have to look up, I have to look up which company it was, because I will probably not. Right. So it was Piranha Games, who you may also recognize as the developers behind MechWarrior Online. So Piranha Games evidently licensed the Wing Commander
name and IP from Electronic Arts. And what's more, Electronic Arts, this would have been kind of roughly concurrent with when, like, this was a bit after Star Citizen was crowdfunded, if memory serves. I'd have to go back in time and look it up specifically. But anyways, they licensed the Wing Commander IP and then decided that they could do something better. And so they announced Transverse, a sci-fi MMO kind of thing. And to be honest, I don't know if it's still in development or what the deal is. I imagine it died out and they just went back to making MechWarrior. But yeah, they grabbed the IP, negotiated some kind of deal, and then decided to just sit on it and do nothing with it because they thought they could do better on their own, I guess. I don't know.
So EA sold the IP for no return on that investment, basically.
They licensed it out and then they got nothing back for it. And yeah.
So you think that potentially they're not wanting to let go of any old school franchise that would then go outside their control, a la Ultima or anything else in the old Origin catalog?
Yeah, like strictly speaking, I can't point to that as a causal thing, but equally, since they are demonstrably cagey with doing anything with their old properties.
Does anybody know what the relationship is between Broadsword and EA? Because from what I can tell, they're not wholly owned, I don't think. And they still actively develop and maintain. So, I mean, they staff and
produce. Broadsword is basically
online.
Just whatever was left of Mythic, right?
Is it?
Yeah.
Like, there's. Yeah.
Like, it basically all the people who. Or, well, not all the people. Like, a lot of the people in Mythic went on to other jobs. But it was basically sort of like the core team for UO and Daok from Mythic basically just spun themselves off as Broadsword, and they are essentially contractors for EA to maintain those MMOs.
Okay. Yeah, contracting makes more sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess if you actually just search for Broadsword, the game studio, you'll get Mythic Entertainment's website that will relocate you to Broadsword.
Yep.
I didn't realize they were still so closely related or hanging on to that identity. I'd be more excited if it was another studio with a bit of a more free license that they could be like, hey, we want to, you know, sell some more merch or something, put something else on the store, maybe something low risk but low margin, like a tabletop.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something?
Right. I feel like I remember EA trying some sort of an experimental program like that where they tried to give indie budget level budgets to indie level development studios to see what they would make. But I don't think I ever heard about any games coming out that really shook up the market in a way or made a splash in headlines for that sort of investment that they were, I think, hoping for. Again, this is an old memory of a rumor of a headline that I saw somewhere. So I'm working off of fuzzy recollections at best with that anecdote.
Yeah, for sure. So anyways, that's kind of the sordid history, or a very condensed version of sort of the sordid history of, yeah, EA has been historically quite cagey with releasing the Ultima franchise and a lot of their other old franchises too for any kind of third party development. But that doesn't stop, you know, us from speculating. How would you reboot the series? You know,
it doesn't stop us from speculating or remaking the unholy bejesus out of it.
Do it, right?
Which is right. That. Yeah. I mean, you know, like Golden Flame, you've got the Dark Unknown, which is certainly Ultima adjacent.
It is.
Yeah.
Is that your product? Is that what you're working on?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, cool. The Dark Unknown.
And Sayer, obviously, you've got U6O. You've taken that one over and done amazing things with it. Like, it's awesome.
Thank you.
And
I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah. And like, even today, I was posting news about that Age of Singularity project. Unity-based, fairly faithful remake of U6, or at least that's what it aims to be, which is also awesome because we need more Ultima 6.
And speaking of more Ultima 6, there's also the Exalt Ultima 6 that just left beta.
It is so cool seeing such old games still being supported in all these different ways. I think I saw at least two different patches to Exalt drop this week on the Dragon's Discord server.
Yep. There, I mean, those guys are constantly hammering away at it. So yeah, if you're following like the Bleeding Edge updates, it's constantly updating. And if you're on like the test flight for the iOS, that updates at least once a month.
So So Exalt Ultima 6 is something that I had never thought I would hear or see ever. And I don't know how many or how many or how in depth the docs that were recovered for Lost Veil, but as like would like fans trying to do Lost Veil on Pentagram, would that be like a possibility? Would that be in the same realm as this is? I thought that would be pretty neat.
From what I recall, like the entire plot of Lost Veil is just gone to history, right? So whatever could be created would be more or less speculation, fan theory, and hopes and dreams as far as whatever got put out at the end, right?
Yeah. Although, like, we have had a fair bit of it come to light since. A lot of that is on the gallery at the Codex. Mm-hmm.
So probably not enough to actually build the whole thing, but could fill in the gaps, maybe.
Yeah. Fill in all the gaps. Speculation.
Yeah, there are, you know, some sort of mods for Exalt in just gameplay-wise, and then there have been a number of projects over the years that were attempts to do either new games or recreations in Exalt. And the Ultima 6 one is one of the first ones that's actually, like, made it to the finish line. I've never heard of anyone attempting any kind of mod or addition or anything to Ultima 8 in Pentagram or Scum VM, where I guess Pentagram is now, right?
Mm.
And so I don't know enough. I don't know enough about what it's like to work with Pentagram to know whether it's something where you really could go in and build something new. But, you know, as much as there are people, I mean, obviously, Athenian. It is an understatement to say that opinions about Ultima 8 are mixed.
Yeah. I don't know what you mean.
Even people who really liked aspects of the plot and such, for the most part, I don't really hear anybody clamoring to go back to the specific engine
mechanics.
Like, I say that, and I get partway through that sentence, and then I remember that Crusader existed.
Right.
Yeah.
The general vibe that I've gotten, like I said earlier, I'm still relatively new to the franchise as far as playing it goes, but I have at least booted every game up and played through about a half hour at least of all of them. Ultima 8 feels very Diablo-esque and very much more action RPG. An attempt at an action RPG compared to the more turn-based, slower, more methodical RPGs like Ultimas 4, 5, and 6. So Ultima 8 is the one where you read the back of the box, you read story summaries, and it is a very neat concept that I think could be very well implemented. But I've never heard anybody really say much about how much they enjoyed the mechanics of Pagan. I've heard plenty of people say that they liked a lot some elements of 7 or 9 or the different underworlds. I'm genuinely struggling to think if I've ever heard people clamoring, shouting from the rooftops that Pagan is the one that they want to see develop more than any other. And I could be wrong that there obviously have been people out there who are like that, but I just haven't heard it as much.
Well, they went heavy to patch it while it was relevant, so maybe it would be a good candidate for like total redo. At least when it came out, people wanted it to be better enough for a few additions here or there. But yeah, pretty much everything you said is true. I'll tell you what I wish I had as far as rebooting or continuing Ultima. I said it earlier in the Dragon's Discord, but I would love another trilogy just to sign off, just to give me a little bit more, right? But I don't think it's the right move. I think probably one reason that EA is so, you know, cagey, right, on their properties is because they're risky, because you're messing with a lot of people's feelings, I guess, or and maybe it's, you know, you don't do it right, and people, it's just it puts a lot of risk on you. They didn't even, you know, everyone's wanted an Ultima server that was like, you know, old school forever, and Calvin was gonna do it, and they were just like, well, we can't find the exact patch to do it. We're getting so much mixed up, and we don't want to just tick off the whole fan base, so they canned it. And that's like pretty much every popular, at least that I know, Gray Shard out there is, you know, some pre-AOS, some T2A thing. So I think it's probably not the right idea to just continue Ultima. I think a soft reboot is probably the way. I'd love to see some sort of...
Right.
Yeah. That's just what I think.
That's sort of been my idea as well. And I'm trying to learn a little bit of Game Maker with the monolithic task in front of me, because I don't know any programming, so this is a huge hill for me to climb. It's more of like a spiritual successor. If Ultima were to be officially continued by EA, the gap between Ultima 9's release and now is 24 years, and the gap between Akalabeth and Ultima 9 is from 79 to 99 is 20 years. So the franchise has been dormant if longer than it was alive. So at this point, trying to continue a direct sequel from Ultima 9, I don't think is particularly feasible, but a soft reboot that alludes to the events of the first 9 games, I think could be much more palatable, that still kind of honors the people who grew up with the original franchise, but isn't so dense with lore and old history that you need to do a whole lot of onboarding for a newer audience.
It would be like doing a new Star Wars movie after however many years since the last... Oh, wait.
Speaking of people who want a new ending to the sequel trilogy.
That's true.
Oh, Lord.
I feel like, doing a game that is somehow a sequel to 9 is basically just starting a new franchise and decided this is the backstory. I mean, it's been so long, there's nowhere to stand, especially given the way 9 ended.
In some ways, I think with a little bit of hand-waving, the way 9 ended could, and this is getting into the nitty-gritty of like plot specifics, because there's a couple different ways you would look at this, whether it's the in-universe plot versus the out-of-universe business decisions or business and marketing decisions. But I think that the ending to U9 with a little bit of retconning and tweaking could work, potentially, if it's handled carefully, with the Armageddon spell going off and then Ultima 10 sort of being a reboot of the slate of the world has been wiped clean. So all the old stories are forgotten. So now we can...
Hey, that's the whole point of the spell, right?
Right, right.
I mean, there is, this is going to be an entertaining statement to make, but there is a sense in which we are describing Shroud of the Avatar.
Only a very narrow sense.
You're not. I get where you're coming from. Yeah. I guess my focus is I'm wanting to pitch a single player RPG and not an MMO. There's not been. I was about to make a statement, and then I realized I am wholly unqualified to make that statement, because I was about to say, I don't think that any MMOs have really had really memorable story beats in them. And then I think to myself, well, World of Warcraft's been around for almost 20 years, and I never even made a trial account.
Final Fantasy 14 people will shank you for that statement.
That's probably fair, because I know nothing about that. I've dabbled in Guild Wars 2, like maybe a couple hours a year for the past 10 years, and that's about it. So I was about to say it, thought better of it, walked it back,
yeah,
and then still said it anyways.
Makes for good content.
Well, you know.
I'll take that.
Well, you know, like in my head, you know, and I'm totally on board with like having it be some kind of single player game. I don't think I'm not really still a big fan of multiplayer stuff, even though I have dabbled in some MMOs over the years. But I do like, don't hate me for this, I like some of what I see with Genshin Impact, which I know we've talked about on the podcast before, but hear me out, because like this is sort of my, if I was doing an Ultima, the thought that I've had, and this for years now, was that, well, I mean, I could go in one of two ways. you know, and we've talked in past episodes about like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to like move Ultima out into other genres? Like I would love an RTS type thing set between 3 and 4 and the Wars of Unification. But if I was going to reboot the series and do something new, I probably want something like Genshin Impact in several of the design terms. 3D, open world, but of course I would want much more interactivity, right? Being able to manipulate objects in the world. And I mean, you'd have to figure out how to do that with a controller, but I had a couple of ideas on the drive home earlier today that might, I don't know, I'd have to sketch it out in a book to see if it would work. But but you know, open world, not necessarily done to like hugely triple A graphics. I don't necessarily need like the highest of hi-fi graphics. I'd be fine with something like, you know, a painterly style with reasonably like realistically shaped models, right? So not like the anime style and not overdone, not like squishy Disney Pixar characters either, you know,
right?
Generally human looking characters, but still like done in sort of maybe like a painterly style, like Genshin Impact or like the Puss in Boots movie, the last one that just came out. And cross-platform, still single player, but the ability to move your character, move your save from your phone to your Switch to your Xbox to your PC.
Oh, like oh, a, your account history is like a cloud-based sort of thing.
Exactly, exactly.
The funny thing is Ultima, again, I'm playing Ultima 4 using a GOG Galaxy or GOG Galaxy. I'm not sure
the
proper pronunciation of it, but I have it on my laptop. So I go out, I visit my girlfriend, I play a little bit. I found Mundane Skull today for the first time playing the game. And I'm like, this is so cool. But it's also kind of weird that this is coming up on a 40-year-old game, and it still has the sense of mystery and adventure and wonder. Okay, I'm going to turn off my laptop, go home, boot it up on my desktop with four monitors, and it's about a grand and a half machine. And I'm going to boot up something that I could play on my on a Dreamcast VMU, probably has the horsepower to handle it.
Probably.
And the save picks right back up with my ship where I left it on the laptop. So kind of the same thing as what you're proposing here, where you pick it up on one, to put it down on one device, and you can pick it up on another one.
Yep. And then in terms of like a story beat, you know, actually the thought that I had was like, you would start the story in the modern world. And you wouldn't be like the stranger from another world. You'd be some totally different random person, create your own character, whatever. And my thought was that you would be like some kind of soldier on a peacekeeping mission or something somewhere. And you'd be walking through this sort of outdoor marketplace, and there'd be some kind of, you know, terrorist attack or whatever. You'd end up in a bit of a gunfight. And as you're running through the marketplace, you would inevitably like blunder through somebody's kiosk, and they would have like, you know, a little dish of gemstones and polished rocks that were being sold for nothing. And you'd like, you know, you'd end up with like a rock in your hand, and you'd like put it down, and a moon gate pops up, and you know, some other event would force you essentially through the moon gate, and you would land in, you know, Britannia. And then the next story beat was like, you know, in the Narnia movies, like you go from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and Cair Paravel is this gorgeous palace, but then you go to the next Narnia movie and it's Prince Caspian, and Cair Paravel is like just ruins.
Right. I have to ask, you talk about the Disney Narnia, so the old BBC ones?
Well, admittedly, I never saw the BBC ones. So for me, the visual is the Walden Media ones, the Disney ones. I guess Disney owns them now. But yes, you know, that idea is like, you know, you end up in Britannia, but the kingdom itself is, you know, in a way has like sort of long been, at least like the main cities have kind of, you know, faded into ruins. And this is the part where it gets a little bit muddy in my mind, because I mean, I'm never going to build this thing, so I don't really bother thinking it through too much. But like, you could get like, you know, you could harken back to Ultima 2, you could get some like time mechanics in there, and you could have some of, you know, like whether they're trapped in the spirit realm or whatever, but like you could have some of the old companions come back. And if you couldn't get Richard Garriott back, well, you could borrow a note from Ultima Forever and have Lady Riddish come back, and it'd be like this story of reclaiming the kingdom, but
another universe, a slightly different tweaked, you know, world. Little everything everywhere all at once sort of mentality.
Figure it out from there. But you know, like that's kind of, I would love to have an Ultima like that. And, you know, then the nice thing about games with that online connectivity, even if they are single player games, is that you can do like live updates, right? You know, Genshin Impact again is a great example, because they are constantly pushing new content and new storylines and new quest lines to the game.
Right. Which that is one of the things that I did have enjoyed about Guild Wars 2 is they have what's called the live story. So it's an MMO, with the intent being they have live story beats. Kind of divided up into seasons, and each season has an overall goal or antagonist for the players to take out. And that was something that's something I hadn't considered, is this live updates or sequential updates post-release, which is a fun idea. because I do like the idea of finding like the one engine that really works and then just continually building on it, adding onto it, evolving it.
Yeah.
I guess the king of that would be a lot of MMOs. So World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy 14, Guild Wars 2, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, would be kind of the champions of that, I'd imagine. Ultima Online.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Kind of the idea in my head was a bit different, because as gonzo fun as Ultimas 1, 2, and 3 are, in Ultima 4, to me, is kind of where the series really hits its stride, because part of examining all this going on the Ultima subreddit and the Discord server and the Codex is, especially for such an old franchise that did a lot of things so differently, is trying to kind of nail down what is it that makes an Ultima game feel like an Ultima game. Is it the interactivity of the world? Is it the sandbox elements? For me, it's the focus on virtues and ethics and morality is where the series really got interesting to me. So primarily 4 and 5 are, to me, the most interesting points of the series so far, of the series. Along with 8 had a lot of potential that I don't think was properly followed up on in 9 from what I've seen. Again, haven't played all the way through 8 through 9. My information is somewhat slipshod on that. I will fess up if I put my foot in my mouth. I had a bad habit of doing that back in college. But my idea for this does not involve someone moongating from Earth through to Britannia. Ultimas 1 through 3 are basically the action-heavy prologue that you, sort of in the same vein that you would get in a Metroid game or in a Symphony of the Night, where you have an original hero who has all the enchanted armor, weapons, spells, everything. And the prologue is the sequence that teaches you how the game's mechanics work. He takes out a big mundane or Exodus style villain at the climax of the prologue. The castle falls, smoke rises up, and then as the camera pans up to the crumbling smoke of this tower, and the camera pans down again to the smoke, is now the smoke of a campfire with this old grandpa telling stories to a crowd of children, espousing the virtues of the old champion from centuries past. We try to live by his example, but there's been no one as good and virtuous as this, as the old champion. And one kid like picks a little stick in a cooking pot lid or something like that, and vows to be the champion of the land. And that's the player character. And then from there, you can sort of go along and more or less have a polished up, modernized remake of Ultima 4 is what I'm kind of penciling out design notes for as I'm learning programming on Game Maker. But the more I pencil it out, the more I'm not sure of exactly what it is that I'm even trying to make. Because my first thought initially was, oh, well, I've never really been a huge fan of turn-based games, so I'll make something that's more like an old school 2D top-down Zelda game. But the more I think about it and pencil it out, the less certain I am of that. And the more I'm trying to like block out other different engines in my head, which, again, I have all these ideas for hidden ancient languages and a spell casting mechanic, that it's tricky to try and find all that out. But it kind of plays with the same ideas of keeping 1 through 3 as your action heavy prologue, and then going into 4, 5, 6 and the rest as a far distant down the timeline sequence of events. So I have more of a plot sketched out in my head than any sort of design mechanics, but aesthetically, I think it'd be fun to sort of invoke that old school Frank Frazetta-esque sort of 60s, 70s, 80s fantasy that has kind of been forgotten and in some ways is making a comeback without so much leg and thigh showing. I don't know why Frazetta had such a thing for that on his Oryx, but I would like to try to avoid that if at all possible.
Sounds like a pretty good approach.
I'm suddenly imagining an Ultima Dragon Slayer crossover.
Oh,
Dragon Slayer.
I hadn't considered it something that cartoony, but it's, I have no animation skill despite my username. Sorry.
You're just a critic. It's fine.
Yeah. But again, that's sort of the thing that has really struck with me is going through post histories on the subreddit, on the Discord, like I said earlier. Everybody's got so many different ideas that even if EA were to announce, E3 is no longer a thing, for example. But if they were to get up on stage in E3 and say, we're remaking Ultima, And it's going to be in the, with the gameplay style of an Elder Scrolls. It's going to be a first-person single-player sandbox RPG. There'll be so many people who'll be unhappy with that decision, even if it had perfectly polished mechanics and 8K ray tracing, the best graphics ever, even if it was bugless and glitchless on release. It still would not feel like Ultima to some people. And I'm not dismissing them because of that, just because after so much time, with such a big history about and it doing so many different things, what makes Ultima Ultima? And that's different for everybody.
All right, it's an absolutely huge debate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I even found myself kind of shuddering at the thought of the Skyrim perspective. I don't know what I would really want. Maybe like an over-the-shoulder, something like that.
Right. And to be fair, I actually did pick Skyrim because I kind of suspected that at least one person here would go, ew, no.
I like Skyrim. Fine game. Enjoyed it. That's just not how I like my Ultima served.
I mean, I did play through all of Skyrim with the camera set to be over the shoulder.
Right.
Except every now and then you had to go first person because the game wouldn't let you interact with something that was too close to your feet or something like that. And you could never see it to interact with it. But
right,
that's beside the point.
So it sounds like in your idea, critic, that you're thinking like the next Avatar would come from within Britannia, this child.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things that I, again, hindsight, that I grew to not like quite as much as the series went on is that the guy who saves the land is not of the land. And that, again, that's a personal gripe. And also I, something that I always kind of hope to see in reading the Codex wiki dumps and going through the articles and going on an Ultima wiki binge. There was only ever one Avatar and I was never quite sure why there couldn't be more than one.
Discovered Ultima Forever again.
I was just gonna say, I was just thinking, like, because like I think Ultima 4, right, is a very logical way back into the Ultima, like a reboot. Sure, start Ultima 4, it makes the most sense. And you know, EA thought that at least for a moment, and
right,
Ultima Forever, and then everyone could be an Avatar. You know, they were all already there in Britannia, just citizens questing for the Avatar.
Right.
Even when the spiritual successor came along, you know, for Ultima, Strata of the Avatar, you were still coming from the outside even then. But yeah, I still think it could work. I still think Ultima Forever could work.
I mean, if you accept the lore as exists through the series as was published, it's a good thing that 200 people didn't become avatars, because then we'd have 200 guardians.
Yeah, yep. A lot of problems.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll divide their power out, though. We're lucky.
It's not, you know, one guardian with 200 alt avatar powers in him. It's just, you know, 200 person-sized guardians with a 200th of the power spread amongst them. Or
the old horse-duck debate, right?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I got lost there for a moment. But yeah, the guardian, that's a whole other big red Muppet-looking kettle of fish that I'm not touching right now.
Well, and that's the nice thing. If you're starting from, you know, Ultima 4, you don't have to solve that problem in Ultima 4.
Right, exactly. And if theoretically, you know, I'm still, my programming skills so far is I can make my character walk and throw pot. And that's about all I can program my game to do. So huge task ahead of me. But of course, because I'm a madman, I've started plotting out themes and ideas for plot elements of sequel games. Why am I doing this to myself? I like the potential of, again, in a single player RPG, because in an MMO you have the problem of the chosen many. You know, you have the chosen one or the chosen few, but in MMO you have the chosen exactly the number as a subscriber base. But I thought there'd be interesting ideas if in a single player RPG you have two avatars who come into conflict with each other ideologically. How does that get resolved? An idea that I had. I always thought Ultima 4 was really interesting because it was very much defined in some aspects by it not having a big central antagonist where you beat the monster and you win the game. Good is defined by a quest of self-enlightenment and self-mastery. But what if there's an antagonist in the game who wants there to be a chosen hero for the people to look up to, but he only believes that great good can come about through defeating great evil? And since there's no great evil, well, he's going to have to make some great evil for a great good to appear.
Yeah. I mean, that sort of madman type plot has, isn't that The Incredibles? Kind of.
I didn't think about that, but it kind of is. Yeah. I wasn't going to go that direction, but I can absolutely see where that came from. Again, I'm going to have to look into that some more. Just drawing on all these different elements.
Everyone's an avatar, then nobody is.
Well, and I mean, like, at the end of the day, it's not like you need to have, you know, an absolutely, like, bold and original new idea. Ultima wasn't a bold and original new idea in many respects, right?
No.
The first RPG, you know, some, like, you can argue that, like, sort of the more morality-focused plot lines of, say, an Ultima 4, like, that was definitely a novel thing. But, you know, fantasy RPGs didn't get invented by Richard Garriott.
No. Didn't Akalabeth, wasn't it originally called D28 back when he first programmed it? Because it was the 28th.
Yeah, it was just based on some of his D&D campaigns.
Right, exactly. So, you know, tracing the history of it back, you know, Ultima was based on Dungeons and Dragons, which was based on Tolkien, which was based on Norse mythology. It's just this, you can, like, track, like, a lineage or like a family tree going way back, seeing where, you know, what influenced what.
Yep. And I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't need to be, yeah, it doesn't need to be like, you know, an absolutely bold and original new thing. It just needs to work in the way that, you know, an Ultima we've kind of come to expect. So what does that mean? I mean, and again, like, and that's a dangerous question, and we don't have time for that because, like I said, right, we're turning into a pumpkin in about 9 minutes here. You know, we don't have time for that. You ask, what is an Ultima? You get about as many answers as there are Ultima fans.
Right.
But there are, you know, I think most would agree, especially from 4 onward, that, you know, the companions are integral, or if not the canonical companions, you know, as party members, then certainly a strong contingent of companions who reappear from game to game, a world that is very rewarding of exploration, that is generally fairly open, especially if you're going from like Ultima 5, 6, 7, 8, and even 9, the interactivity factor, you know, that world sim element is a big deal. It's a world that needs to already feel inhabited. It's a world that needs to be lived in already, and you're kind of just passing through it.
Yeah, you got to keep it a minimum schedules and the liveliness of your surroundings.
Right. That
I feel like
until Ultima. Go on. Sorry.
Now you have to say the schedules. Yeah, schedules didn't show up till 5.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, since 5 was pretty much the first game to do schedules, period, you can't really hold it against the rest of them. I kind of feel like, so I completely agree that if there's going to be a reboot, that 4 is where to start. 4 is the most iconic of the series. 4 was the most groundbreaking of the series. But everything else, like, you make a list of what you think should be in an Ultima, and, you know, companions that show up across multiple games, world interactivity, although not nearly as much as we'd like generally, open world, etc. There are games out there that satisfy all of those criteria.
Well, the interactivity part's still coming along.
It's a little shaky. But I feel like what you need to focus on, if you want it to be to justify calling it Ultima rather than some other property, has to be the virtues.
Yes. And that's why Ultima 7 is not a particularly good Ultima.
I've heard that I think that 4 is the iconic one personally, but I've heard some people say that 7 is the peak of the franchise.
For most people, 7 is.
6 enough.
For most people, if you ask on the street, 7 is. But I am very antagonistic toward it just for the silence of the virtues.
Right. It kind of might be one of those things where people may, the themes of 4 are superior, but people appreciate the game, the moment-to-moment gameplay loops and mechanics more.
7 was, you know, 7 wasn't surpassed as an open world game for a decade or more. Yeah, as far as just its open worldness, not as a game that is open world, but it's very lived in. You can run around and do stuff in whatever order you want. Introduces the Guardian, who that was real cool, especially at the time. So yeah, there's a lot of love for Seven. I feel like there's a lot of people who might call it the game they most enjoy in the series and possibly think it's the best game in the series, but they would still probably call Four a more iconic game in the series. I mean, I think Five's the best personally, but I'm stubborn like that.
But well, it seems to me like Five works as kind of some games through history which are really good sequels to their predecessor. Off the top of my head, Assassin's Creed 2 is a very good, well-made sequel to Assassin's Creed 1. Batman Arkham City compared to Batman Arkham Asylum. Much in that same sort of vein, Ultima 4 was a fantastic game on its own, but Ultima 5 took all of what Ultima 4 did and expanded and went even more in depth on it with things like schedules, expansion on the thematic elements of the virtues, and yeah, the theme of the virtues, and then you get the variation of Blackthorn's virtues.
Right.
Which I thought, I agree with you that thematically speaking, I think Five is kind of the most interesting, but it only works if you have Four as the base to build upon.
True. You couldn't just have released Five as the first game in a series and expected it to work.
Right. You could have done if Five came out in a vacuum with a Tyvern who's corrupting the laws of the land, it still works. But when you have Four and he's corrupting your virtues that you lived in quest of for so hard, that makes it that much more resonant, thematic, and personal, and more powerful.
So as far as what I would do with it, and I've talked about this on the Discord and probably on other episodes of this podcast. I mean, for one thing, I did write a 30-something thousand word fanfic that's up on the Dragon Press.
You did.
That I started before 9 came out.
You'll have to send me the link to that, please.
And it was going to be the first of three parts. The first part, which is what I did write, is the Guardian's invasion of Britannia while the Avatar is on Pagan. And it involved Lord British's daughter, because I went with the whole Nell thing. And so Lord British's newborn daughter gets taken away from the ruins as Britannia is conquered and raised in the woods by a redeemed Blackthorn in a sort of Merlin King Arthur kind of thing. And then part two was going to be her becoming the next Avatar. And then part three was going to be the original Avatar coming back and the two Avatars encountering each other.
I love it.
And defeating the Guardian. I wound up deciding that I just did not have the chops to write part two. But part two, I initially was like, okay, never mind this. I'm going to actually try to do this as a game. I'm going to try to make this game. And so my idea for part two, and this would be what I would do if I had a bankroll and the license, I would do an Ultima 4 redo that basically stole a bunch of the sort of themes and sort of mechanics from the later Persona series, swap out social links for virtues. At each of the cities, you gain a party member who has some kind of struggle or issue or problem that is centered on some virtue. You help them through it over the course of plot. And in the process of teaching them how to properly do compassion, do justice, etc., you learn it yourself until at the end you've helped these eight people do these things, and now you're an Avatar. I realized that I am just, with enough money, I would have to go and hire writers to help me actually write all those through lines, because I'm not that good. And that's why the whole thing just wound up being this is what I would like to see, but I'm not going to actually try to do it. And instead I'm doing something else. But if I did have the license and a pile of money, that's the direction that I would go. I wouldn't do the game as a JRPG style. I don't want that.
But the idea of character of companion struggles being a thematic parallel to the main player character's growth as an avatar.
Yeah, is... I mean, I absolutely loved Persona 4 in particular out of the series so far. 5's gameplay is a little better, but 4 is the first game that I've played since Ultima where you gain power by making other people better people.
Oh, that's something else I would have loved to have seen in Ultima 9. But I really do like that idea as well, where it does not come down on your shoulders. It comes down to everybody around you. I think that is not something that's done enough, and I would love to see something like that. That sounds fantastic.
It does. Well, that brings it to the end of time for me, unfortunately. So yeah. I guess, maybe just as a closer, I'll kick it out to the audience. You're, of course, always welcome to send us feedback with your own thoughts on, you know, any of the things we've said here, or what's your own thoughts about, you know, how would you reboot the Ultima series? And in the meantime, well, thank you all for coming out tonight. It's good to actually do one of these again. It's been far, far, far too long.
Yeah, this was very cool. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was nice to meet new people and see old people again.
Well, thank you for making me feel welcome. I just sort of threw the idea out there on a lark on the Discord earlier today and didn't think that it would happen tonight. So I was pleasantly surprised. Thank you for making me feel so welcome.
Yeah, you are welcome. It's very, very nice meeting you.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, y'all have a good night, and hopefully we can do this again.
I'm going to get to bed myself. It's about 12:45 out for me. I'm out in the Ohio area.
Good gotcha. Night, then.
Good
take
night.
Care, all.
Bye. See you again.
Good night.
If you want to join the Ultimate Dragons, you can do so at udic.org, whereat you can choose your very own dragon name. You can also find the Ultimate Dragons on Facebook. We have a Facebook group there. And you can follow at Ultimate Dragons on Twitter or join them on Discord. And if you're feeling really old school, you can even fire up a Telnet client and check out the Wearmount. Hit up the show notes for links to all of these. If you want to participate more directly in the podcast, you can send us an email. Or if you're feeling a little bit braver, leave us a voice message in one of three places: the podcast website, our Facebook page, or on anchor.fm. And you're also welcome to join us on our Discord server to chat with us, to lurk, or even contribute to podcast recordings when they happen. And again, links in the show notes. If you'd like to support Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug, you can do so at patreon.com/ultimacodex, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to episodes the day before they go live to the general public. You'll also get access to behind-the-scenes audio when we have some to share, and possibly other interesting content. But we also welcome your moral support. You can like the Ultima series on Facebook, follow at Ultima Codex on Twitter, or leave the podcast a review on iTunes. And you're also welcome to share our episodes with your friends and social media circles. Spam, Spam, Spam Humbug is a production of the Ultima Codex. You can find show notes online at spamspamspamhumbug.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time, be virtuous.